That was the crime they called blasphemy. And later in 10:33 of John, the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God." And so you can see why they would be feeling self-righteous about what they were doing. Their law said so. This man said he was the son of God. God was his father. And then suddenly it hits you, well, didn't they think God was their father? And the answer is they certainly did. That's the name of God, the Father of all mankind. They didn't really think he had blasphemed at all, did they? Because they too thought God was their Father. They were using blasphemy as a very convenient way of getting rid of he who had renounced Judaism, he who would not bring them a kingdom on earth, he who had said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And so we find that religion is being exposed here as having no interest in the truth, no interest in God, when it suits religion's purpose to have no interest in God. But why? Because religion isn't religion. Religion is the same world mind that crucifies. Religion is the same world mind that sends boys out to be shot in war. The same world mind that says to this group of boys, "You need heroin today. You're either in it or not in it. You're either serving it consciously or not, or serving the Christ mind. If you're not in the Christ mind, you're in the world mind." And just by not being in the Christ mind, you commit every act of infamy that is in the Bible. It all goes on in your subconscious, and eventually it surfaces in one way or another, some greater and some lesser. We're all feeding out of the reservoir of the world mind unless we're in the Christ mind. That's why we have these funny tendencies that we can't understand. Why does a man steal? Some people even steal when they don't have to. It's a habit. It's a way of life. Or it's a weakness they can't control and they don't want to, but something puts the hand out there and takes what it shouldn't take. Why? The world mind. The person never does it. The world mind is the hand. The world mind is the body. The world mind is the flesh. The world mind is even the object that it steals. The world mind is the world. And we who are not in the Christ mind are in that world mind of good and evil. We who are not in the Christ mind are in the world mind which kills the human race. Each successive generation is killed by the world mind because it is a murderer from the start. It is the false creator of a false world. And there's no hope to make this a better world. The only hope is to come into the Christ mind and to walk in the kingdom of God on earth. That is the meaning of salvation. Otherwise, it's an empty word. Just making good Boy Scouts out of us isn't salvation. This was the nature, then, of the charge of the hypocrisy, to say that God had blasphemed. against God. The religious mind does not know the nature of Christ. You find examples who do know, and they are the rare exception. You find books, for example, by a Catholic, and you say, well, this is the truth. Yeah, the book is. And then you find examples of the truth by a Protestant, and you say, well, this is truth. Yes, the book is. And you find some by a Muslim, by a Hindu, by a Jew. The book is. But you're talking about millions of people who know nothing about what is being said in that book. There are over 20 billion Bibles that have been sold in the world, and most people still think that Jesus did all this to in some way make it unnecessary for us to come through the Christ experience ourselves. That all we have to do now is be good and die, and we'll go there and we'll find him. This empty teaching has existed in spite of all the Bibles. You can find a great big Bible in the middle of somebody's living room. I have some friends who collect Bibles. They have Greek Bibles, they have early Bibles. They haven't read one of them. Haven't even read them. Not even interested. It's just something to collect, and there it is. People see it, and they're collectors of Bibles. They don't know what's inside the Bible, either good or bad. And when the church reads the words of the Bible, everybody says, oh, that poor man, look what he went through. We're going through it ourselves right now, every day. This woman who had the brain tumor, she was a believer, a faithful believer. She couldn't understand why she had that brain tumor. How could you explain to her this was the collective karma of the world appearing in her through the world mind? That she had nothing to do with it. She was just the recipient of something that is caused by a world mind, and then the psychologist might probe her mind to find out if she was mean to her mother and that caused her something like that. And that wouldn't help, because the world mind is going to keep pushing itself through what she calls her mind anyway. She never can identify her adversary, because religion doesn't teach her that. It doesn't teach her that there's a world mind. And it doesn't make any difference what religion you go to. The adversary is never identified. Some come very close to it. And then, for some reason or other, duality enters in. And there's always God and me. Or there's a power of evil. Did you read what the Pope said the other day? I couldn't believe it. In fact, I've written the Catholic Monitor to give me the full statement. It was so incredible to see this statement in the papers. This isn't the full statement. That'll come later. Pope said, whole societies have fallen under the domination of the devil. He said, sex and narcotics provide openings for Satan's infiltration of mankind. He said, the devil exists, and people should be on their guard against him. He said, the defense against the evil which we call the devil is necessary, that our greatest need is the defense against the devil. He said, the devil does exist and is a dark enemy agent. Evil is not just a deficiency, but an efficiency. It is a alive, spiritual, perverted, and perverted being. It is a terrible, really mysterious, fearsome thing. And then he said, Satan was responsible for man's falling from grace. He is the enemy number one, the tempter par excellence, the hidden enemy who sows errors and misfortune in human history. The headline is, the Pope says the devil's role is spreading, that the devil really exists. Now, people read that and have been brainwashed on that for so long that we can say safely that at least 50 million people in that overall congregation believe there is a living devil somewhere. And you try to take that devil away from them, they're going to get mad at you. They really do. Because this is what they fight. They fight the devil. And you know something? I wouldn't want to ask all the religions of the world if they believe that, because I'm sure they tell me they do. You'd find that that's not just part of any one religion. The world believes there's a living devil, and that the devil causes these things. And of course, that means that the devil must be operating under God's permission, under God's will, because God is the power of the universe. It must be God's will that the devil do this then. And if it's God's will, then you can say that all of the evil on earth is God's will. Now, how in the world could you pray to God then? If it's God's will that there be evil, what are you going to pray about? And if it's not God's will, how can it happen in the first place? How does the devil get away with it if it's not God's will? And these are the questions that aren't answered. And so we live in this kind of hazy in-between unawareness, and this is what world mind is. I can tell you, world mind speaks and makes these statements. This is a statement by the world mind. And whatever is not truth is a statement by the world mind, and that is fed back into the collective consciousness of every individual. You may not even see it in the paper, but one way or another, it comes into you. You begin to feel that there's some powerful, sinister force working. And you may not call it Satan or devil. You may have another name for it. But you think it's there. It's existent. And there is no such force. There is no such power. All that is present is the Spirit of God. There's no devil, and there's no power of a devil. There's only that which is below and that which is above. And these are the two levels of consciousness. One is pure consciousness, and the other is human consciousness. And human consciousness itself does not exist, and all that it knows is equally non-existent. When you step back out of it, you find you're in the pure consciousness, and there's no devil, there's no deviltry, there's no evil. You see through the illusion of the form, through the images. Time and space is lifted out of your consciousness, and you stand in the one, in the pure, in the real. And then you know all that is here is the light. It is all pure light. The illusion only exists in the illusory mind. The mind that perceives the evils of the world itself is the illusion. That illusion mind perceives its own illusions. And when it's the world mind which is the illusion, then all within the world mind perceive the same illusions. Christ doesn't. Christ stands in the midst of the attackers, seeing no enemy. That's why Pilate's puzzled. What kind of a man is this? Maybe my wife was right. She said I better watch out for him. I better not monkey with this man. He must be a very important man for all these Jews to want him killed. He thinks Christ is a half-god of some kind. And while he's thinking that, he's got another problem. They're going to threaten to send a report back to Rome if he lets this man go. He's torn between what his wife told him and his fear of Caesar and his fear of the fury of the mob. And he's a very typical human being. Torn between all of these different forces. Why? Because he has no anchor in Christ. He doesn't know the truth. He even said so. Do you see how necessary it is to come to grips with this world mind? That Christ in you, just as Christ in Jesus, could walk through the world mind which was threatening to kill him, unafraid, knowing it doesn't exist. That Christ in you can do this with every problem you have. Do you see the great symbolism there? That just as Christ in him could walk through an intended crucifixion, knowing its impossibility, knowing the non-existence of form and matter and material power, Christ in you this minute can walk through every lack and limitation you think you know as a fact in your life. It doesn't matter what it is. Christ in you sees it as a non-reality, which it is. And then finally, why this Christ in you? Is there a you that contains Christ? Or are you this invisible Christ yourself? Doesn't Christ in you finally become Christ I am? There's a very interesting consciousness that does something unusual to you. It actually takes you out of your human self. It's like that 52 seconds of the Wright brothers off the ground. It gets you out of yourself, and once you feel yourself out of yourself, even for those 52 seconds, the great fiction of human selfhood is revealed to you, that there isn't any. Once you become aware for those 52 seconds of your true identity, you feel yourself as something totally different than the one you had lived with all of your human lifespan. It's as if you really are a spiritual form, a vast form, so vast that all of the physical events around you are walking through that form and not touching it. These little pygmies of human events seem to walk through the vast physical, spiritual structure of you. You feel your everywhere being off the ground, out of matter. In a flash, you might even know that everything that exists is right where you are. It doesn't matter where it was in time or in space, it is right where you are. Because where you are is the infinity of God. And everything that's happening in any part of the universe is just part of the mortal mind picture that isn't there. What is there is the infinity of God. The infinity of God is right where you are at all times, and nothing else. It doesn't matter where things seem to be happening. The infinity of God there is the infinity of God here. One infinite God. One infinite identity. And when you feel it, you know that Christ is revealing the nothingness of the entire material world and the allness of the infinity of your own spiritual self. There are times when this can be so strong in you that you don't want to do anything but revel in it, just resting in the word that the infinity of God I am. And it doesn't matter if something seems to have happened 2,000 years ago. Whatever happened 2,000 years ago could only be a spiritual activity because there's nothing else there. And that spiritual activity is happening now. Whatever will happen 2,000 years from now can only be a spiritual activity. And all spirit is now, therefore 2,000 years from now is happening now. That is the infinity of your being, so that the world of time is in the now of your infinite self. As an experience, as a living knowledge. And the world of time did not exist because the infinity of Christ is all that can ever happen. Nothing else can happen. You rest in it. You feel that there's no space outside of you. There's no time outside of you. There's nothing outside of you. Infinite Spirit is your name. Infinite spiritual power must be functioning. Infinite spiritual action is all that can happen. Nothing can enter to defile or make alive. There can be no human punishments. There can be no human pain. There can be no human lack or limitation. You are infinite spirit. And there's a moment in your 52 seconds off the ground when you don't have to be told that again. The experience replaces all the words you've heard. In fact, there are no words that can really awaken you to that experience. No words that you can truly believe in. You can only believe that experience. And when you have it, then you know why the words were unnecessary. The only reason you hear the words is to enable you to know that the experience is waiting to be lived in. And when the experience happens, you know that you truly are not this physical form. Christ was not the physical form there. All of these events were happening in time, invisible form, but they were all happening inside the world mind, not in the Christ identity. You walk free of this world mind. Those 52 seconds off the ground are going to be a very important experience. Infinite Christ, not finite Christ, not Christ in this room or this body, not Christ in any century, not Christ in any place, but infinite in time and space. And in 52 seconds off the ground, you don't get to feel that full infinity, but you get out of this limited self. Enough to know that that was a promise of things to come into your fullness of consciousness. Seem to have gone quite a bit over the half, so I think we'll continue. The Jews answered him, "We have a law." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid, He went again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. He wanted to know where Jesus came from. The human mind cannot understand Christ. Christ cannot speak to the human mind, so he gave him no answer. Pilate said, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee? I have power to release thee? The human mind thinks it's a power. The world mind, expressing as the human mind, is a power over all those who do not know their own Christ mind. And the Christ says that very strange statement, Thou couldst have no power over me, except it were given thee from above. You see the above part, the light, and then the forms. Here's the forms. These forms don't exist. All is here is the light. These do not exist. Where you appear in form, it does not exist. All that's there is the above light. As it comes through mind, it becomes form. Thou couldst have no power over me except it were given thee from above. And then this great revelation. Therefore he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greatest sin. Now that line means, He that delivered me unto thee hath the greatest sin. Who delivered Jesus Christ to Pilate? The world thinks Judas did. World mind delivered Jesus Christ to Pilate. He's trying to show us again and again and again that world mind is the culprit. Who deprives you of the things you need? World mind. Who fools you into thinking that you suddenly got them? World mind. Who takes them away again? World mind. Who makes you sick tomorrow? World mind. And who makes you well? World mind. You go up and down like a yo-yo in world mind, never knowing what's causing it. And what's causing is that he who delivered thee unto the sickness, the sin, the lack, the limitation, is the world mind. And then the world mind recovers you and you say, thank you. And when the religions of the world go to pray, they are praying to this world mind. That's who you pray to. Dear world mind, which I am calling God by mistake, make me well. God never made you sick, so how can God make you well? God is your name. Your invisible identity is Christ, Son of God. You don't have to pray to God to make you well. God is always well. You have to step out of the world mind and you're well. You don't have to pray to anyone. Your prayer is the acceptance that I am the living Spirit of God, the life of God now, called Christ. That acceptance is your prayer. That's the Lord's Prayer. This then is revealing the universal nature of evil coming through the world mind. He that delivered thee unto me hath the greatest sin. Not Pilate, not Judas, the world mind. If your business is bad, it's the world mind. If your business is good, it's the world mind. But if you have spiritual business, you'll find it doesn't waver. And it will appear outwardly as a permanently good business, a permanently good health, a permanently good income, a permanently good relationship, a permanently good life. When John the Baptist said, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, he was giving us the clue that we are to find not this temporary sense of life, we are to find our permanent life. He that cometh after me, preferred before me, is our permanent life, our permanent identity. When you find your permanent identity, world mind collapses. It hasn't a leg to stand on after that. The illusion of the world mind is gone. It'll catch you once in a while. It'll tempt you. It'll fool you. But by and large, its teeth are gone. And so that's the whole purpose so far of the 19th chapter. To show us that the adversary, the cause of every evil in the world, is not man's inhumanity to man. It's not man's greed. It's not his selfishness. It's the world mind posing as these things. And Jesus never met a claim in that person for that reason. That's why Jesus didn't defend against these so-called enemies. He wouldn't go for the decoys. We're being taught to avoid the decoys of form, person, place, condition, and thing. And get to the root of all evil, which is the mind that is not the Christ mind. For only the Christ mind can see, experience, live in the reality of God on earth. Well, there's a lot of deception that follows. We'll get into it some other time. I'm interested in your having the experience of knowing yourself to be a spiritual being. And the way you might go about it at this particular point in our study is to know that God is the allness demonstrated here by Christ Jesus. And the acceptance then of his demonstration that God is ever present and is all there is always the beginning point of your day. God is here, and the Spirit of God must be my name. There is no evil in the Spirit of God. It is not the will of the Father that there be evil. The will of the Father is goodness. And because there's no power to push aside the will of God, it is functioning, and goodness is functioning. The will of God is that I have all that God has. The will of God is that I be perfect, and that will must be functioning. Nothing can stop it. And so we accept the Word. We rest in the Word rather than in our own personal human experience. My human experience tells me there's many other things here beside God and beside the will of God. But because world mind in me wants me to do just that, I finally come out of that deception and rest in the Word of God rather than in my own human experience, which says there are other things here. In other words, your faith is in the Word, which says only God is here. That's what Jesus Christ was demonstrating. There's no power in you, Pilate, over me. I'm getting out from underneath the magnifying glass. I'm not living in the below, in the form. I'm the light. I am from above. And there's no evil in God's universe, and this is it. I'm not going to be in a universe that isn't God's universe, because there isn't any. And there is no lack in God's universe, and there's no limitation in God's universe, and there's nothing finite in God's universe. I'm not going to try to become what God tells me I already am. I am the child. I don't have to become the child. That means I am the spirit. What can spirit become? The mere trying to become is the denial of being the spirit. The effort to get is a denial of having the allness of spirit. And so there's nothing more to desire or to seek or to find, nothing to become. That spirit of God is where I am. I am in the kingdom of God now. There is no other. I'm in the universe of God now. And there's nothing in it that's finite. So I'm not a finite anything in the universe of God. And I'll slow down a minute. I cannot be finite and be spirit. There is no finite spirit. I can't begin at one place and end at another place. I can't begin in time with a birth and end in time with a death. That's finite. Where do I begin? I have no beginning. Where do I end? I have no ending. Does God have a beginning? No. Does God have an ending? No. I have no beginning. I have no ending. Was God born? No. Then I was not born, because God is all. Does God die? No. Then I cannot die, because God is all. Where do these ideas come of a beginning and an ending? They're false ideas of the world mind. I have no beginning and no ending. I am spirit. And if I have a beginning and an ending, I am denying myself to be the spirit. The nature of spirit is without beginning or end. It has no beginning in space or in time, and no end in space or time. The moment I have a beginning or an end in space or time, I'm saying I'm not the spirit, and I'm divided again. World mind has divided me from myself. These characters in the Bible who are crucifying Christ are not doing that at all. They're crucifying themselves. They are turning away from Christ in them, which is all that this is made visible to show us. And we don't want to be like that. While they crucified the outer Christ, they were crucifying the inner Christ by turning away from it. And by we turning away from the inner Christ, we're crucifying the Christ the same way. But now we're not. We stop crucifying Christ when we know that's my name. That's my being. And Christ said, before Abraham was, I am. Therefore, before Abraham was, I am. Christ said, I am the light, and therefore, I am the light. Christ said, you have no power over me, world power, Pilate, and therefore, I can say to the world mind, you have no power over me. The minute I know the world mind and recognize it, it ceases to be a power. Its power lies in the fact that no one recognizes it. When it's recognized, it has no power. That's the only power it has. It's invisible to human sense. It works through the unconscious. But when you recognize it, it loses its power. And so every report that comes to your consciousness which says something is wrong is the world mind. It can put 10 ambulances out there and clang 10 fire engine bells. They're all put there by the world mind. It can have a flood, it can have a storm, it can have an epidemic, it can have every kind of calamity. Don't believe it. That's all the same world mind. It's all part of the initiation, the testing for you who have been in the wilderness, unknowing that you are the Christ. And when you know it, you can say to the world mind, which is Pilate here, thou hast no power over me. It wasn't given thee from above. The only power is my ignorance. And if I have ignorance, you have power. If I have awareness of the Spirit, the power is gone. That's your freedom. Salvation is faith that you are the Christ, not faith in God. That faith has not been salvation. That's been the prolonging of all the superstitions the world has known. The faith that Christ in you is God is salvation. And then world mind is powerless. It can never tell you again what you lack, what you need, or what you should have, because you can always know, I, Spirit, am self-complete. Everything I need is right here. This is holy ground. And the here-ness that I speak of is myself. All of me is here. All of me is here because the universe is here. And the universe is all of me. Nothing can be added or taken away from the spiritual reality. And nothing else exists. We have then the will of God being good, only goodness can be. The substance of God being spirit, only spirit can be. The action of God being perfect, only perfection can be. And if the human mind keeps trying to catch that and accept that, it fails. Again and again it fails because it's the human mind which must be crucified, not Christ. When you crucify the human mind, Christ in you rises, and the Christ mind reveals to you that mortal mind is dead. Instead of being dead to Christ, you're dead to the deadness of a world that never was. Instead of crucifying the Christ, we have learned to crucify the mind, which is the outlet and the inlet for an illusory world mind. And then the murderer of the world has no one to murder. Now, if you keep using that mind, you're saying to the murderer, work through me. If you crucify that mind, you'll find the mind that was in Christ Jesus is your mind. And things will instantly clarify themselves. You'll find you're out of this form. You're aware of a vast spiritual form which is yours. And you can feel that all of the winds that blow, all of the forms that walk, all of the powers that make noises are not making contact with you anymore. Just as they couldn't make contact with Christ. For one was unreal and one was real. Then you're taken outside of this human selfhood. You're lifted right out of it. You're off the ground. And you find that all of the laws of spirit are working, maintaining a perfect kingdom through your entire being. Now, this experience of not being in this limited capsule does for you what no words can do. And it doesn't come because you're thinking about it. It comes because you're true to the fact that God is truly all there is. If you can be true to that truth, that God is all there is, every time you meditate, you'll find this new power takes you your 50 seconds off the ground.
Well, I think that's our
story today. I wish you all a very pleasant Thanksgiving.